We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
I learned how to be a Spider-Man from the OG. But I learned how to be a hero from my dad.
Hello and welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities from Marvel Comics to their MCU counterparts. And we're your hosts, Jeffrey.
And I.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
For the people who only listen to us, this is going to be a little weird because this time around, we're actually video recording this also.
Yeah.
So I'm looking directly into the camera and I've never felt more awkward in my life.
It's like you're on view.
Yeah.
You're literally in front of the camera. We're also recording the audio simultaneously. So it's kind of like, oh, we have nowhere to hide officially.
Yeah. So I feel like, like I got to be on, but not really, but also got to just be aware.
Yeah.
And I hate being aware.
You have to be cognizant of your surroundings and what you're doing and all that good stuff.
And for the people who listen to us, but they don't know how our faces look, hello?
This is what we look like. That's so weird, right? Holy smokes.
This is our professional podcast studio, a.k.a.
my living room. So, welcome.
And it's very
in.
Fitting because this corner is very nice.
Yeah.
We have the, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool things. So you wouldn't even know unless I told you, but...
Yeah. You have no idea.
Yeah, this is really weird. I feel really weird.
Jeff has been waffling with like this entire concept for the last hour and a half.
I'm literally sweating.
You're doing
I'm
fine.
I'm literally sweating.
You're so funny. Oh my gosh. Okay, for everybody else, welcome to Mini Marvel number 11,
woo!
Where we talk about the broader Marvel universe and the MCU's hottest topics, sort of. The strike has really kind of put, like, pumped the brakes on all that, because like I feel like before we would be able to talk about stuff like
promotions, everything,
and now it's kind of like
it's horrible.
It's
there's trailers
again.
Come out that I'm like, oh, that's playing, or like, oh, they're advertising that, and I'm like,
yeah.
So you don't realize how much the strike affects media, modern media, until like you're going through it and you're like, what do I even consume? Like when like you're waiting for your favorite movies, shows.
Yeah.
So, and I've noticed that, like, even for other studios, it's not Marvel or Disney. It's I notice it and I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So pardon that part, but I mean, this is great. We're officially doing it on camera. So this is a different change as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, since we already introduced what we're doing here, which is fun because it's going to be kind of like Patreon first and then to the public, I guess, as we would say, because we do have a YouTube channel. So we're going to throw it up there as well as on our social media.
Patrons, what do they change it to?
Backers?
Backers?
I don't,
it sounds like they work at a warehouse.
It's, I don't know. I'm
going to say it right now. To our backers, he doesn't.
Yes,
I mean, we could like maybe put it up because we release on Saturdays, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we release just video only on Saturdays for patrons, and then
Monday,
it goes to the general public.
We could.
So if you want to become a Patreon patron backer, and see the video recording early,
there we go.
That is a
there
perk.
There you go. And so top of the show, so podcast stuff. New York Comic Con just happened.
How was that?
I mean, it was great. I Jeff and I were talking before we started recording, and I was just like, it's exhausting. It's like truly exhausting. And not because not for any bad reason or any particular reason. It's just that it is exhausting because it's a 4-day convention and you're in the middle of New York. And so you're walking everywhere.
I feel like New York is like a fast city.
Oh, yeah.
It's a super fast
for
city.
For sure. And so like for me, especially because I think I'm the only one aside a couple of artists who are coming from the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So immediately I lose 3 hours. That's gone.
Yeah.
So
it's the worst.
And if we have like, we have call times, right, for the show. So it say it opens at 10, our call time is 8, which means it's 5 for me. So I have to be up an hour before that if I intend to look decent, have food, and then the walking over, which is, you know, 15-10 minutes, but
still,
it's
still though.
It's all so
you have, this is your 5 to 9 before your 9 to 5.
Exactly right. Exactly right. But the show itself is always really good. I've done less and less, like since I've actually started working during the show, I've done less of like the sightseeing nonsense of like, let me go to this booth and that booth. And you know, and so like, you know, unfortunately, for instance, Marvel, like they usually bring exclusives, like convention exclusives, which is great because sometimes they got some good stuff. This time it was like a copy and paste from San Diego Comic-Con. So I was like, don't need to go there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the companies differ between the shows. And so a lot of the ones that I do like are already at San Diego. So I've already seen all that.
Yeah.
And I'm not a Funko person. So I'm not. And that, it's a lottery system for that, too.
I was like, oh, like you don't know what Funko you'll get?
No, you don't know if you even get the chance to purchase any.
Oh, wow. Are they that crazy?
Yes.
Damn.
Even for San Diego, you have to go into this lottery system to get all the stuff. And so anyway, long story short, a friend of mine got it. And even she was kind of like, she just did it for S&G. She was like, let me just do it to see if I get it. And she got it. Didn't want anything.
Oh, she got the opportunity to buy something. She looked at and she was like, I don't
anything.
Want
it. Yeah. And so I think she bought stuff for other people.
Sure.
But you know, it's the unfortunate downside of some of these shows because a lot of those lines, especially Funko, is just saturated with resellers. Which is ironic because that's why they do lottery in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe one in every 15 people is an actual authentic person who wants to buy the stuff. Everybody else... And she even told me, she was like, she was in line waiting for her time and she got like a Sunday slot. And she was like, I don't know what to buy, but everybody around me is literally talking about how they're going to buy 10 of each and how they have sellers already or buyers. Already and that they're going to trade immediately after they leave the booth, which is like insane. Which is like, hey, if you can,
like,
if you do that, that's cool. That's cool, man. But like, definitely not for me either
way. I
thought
shoes were bad.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same.
I know.
It's just so much worse because it's like a $10 toy.
Oh, that's right.
That they're flipping to $450.
No.
It's kind of crazy. Oh, so
too much work.
Yeah. So I've done a lot less of that stuff and more of I'm behind the table doing the assisting. And so, of course, shout out to our friends at Cadence Comic Art. And we had like a packed, we had like legitimately like 20 artists at this show. And I got to work with the lovely Zoe Thorogood once again, who has a new comic out today. We're recording on a Wednesday. And Woo! So she is taking on the helm of the Hack and Slash series with a short limited run. She's writing and drawing, I believe. And so definitely go check that out. But yeah, you know, I got to work with a couple of people. Of course, Tula Lote, infamous for all her beautiful movie posters and her work on Scarlet Witch from a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then I actually got to meet for the very, very first time Elena Casagrande, who is an Italian artist that... she did Black Widow. She did the most recent, well, I think it was the most recent run of Black Widow in the comics. And I adore her work. Like she did Guardians of the Galaxy as well. And so huge fan, got to meet her for the very first time. She's awesome. She actually did a piece for me that's about this large. It's about, Oof. It's an ace, it's, I don't know, 11 by 17 or something. Original piece of Yelena. And
oh, wow.
I was so scared to bring it home. So they're going to ship
it to
me.
You?
Yeah. But it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So shout out to Corey for hooking me up with that one. And then, yeah, I got a couple of Last of Us sketches from some of our artists as well. And so my little journal is filling out real good. But there were a few special people that were at the convention.
You're all subtle with it too in your stories. I'm like, wow. What? you're like the people that you meet on the meeting. Yeah, you're so subtle about it.
Well, yeah, because I'm like, because you know, I've seen what other fans do with what fan pages do. When they find people's pictures.
Oh, like they screenshot and then they...
I'm not so like you're trying about to, that. Okay.
That's fair.
When I took my very first one with Charlie Cox.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. And I didn't tag him or anything. I just put like, finally met Charlie. Like I just said... I
on
just
Twitter
put the words.
Or on,
yeah, on Twitter. And of course it's searchable. So they found the picture and like... overnight I had like 2,000 likes and reshares and I was like, dude, this is my picture. I'm a very private person.
Fair.
You know what I mean? I post a lot on social.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I would just post stuff.
I'm so weird about it. And I've always kind of been that way because of the previous job too. I'm kind of like,
sure,
I show enough, but I don't show everything. And so that's one of my things where I'm just like, no, you don't get to see my picture. This is my picture.
Yeah, so, that's fair.
So I have, you can see the picture. I think they're horrendous. But but I did get to meet Mr. Chris Evans.
Woo!
First. And so that was, I take that back. The first I got to meet Ashley Johnson. And so Ashley Johnson, which I'm just like, yes, this is like part of my The Last of Us like trifecta of people. And she's the second because I've met Neil Druckmann and now Ashley Johnson. And so she's the voice of Ellie, of course. And she was also on the TV show as Ellie's mother.
Yes.
And which people forget, she was the waitress from the Avengers that got saved by the Avengers.
Yes.
So I got to meet her. She was absolutely awesome. I just kind of walked up to her and I was like, dude, like, first off, you're like effing amazing.
Yeah.
She was like, oh my God, like, thank you.
Like, she sounds like Ellie too.
Yeah,
like,
she sounds exactly like
her Ellie. Her normal voice is Ellie.
Is Ellie, yeah. And then she gave me a giant hug. And then I said, second, can you please release more music? And she was like, ah, like, she did not expect it. And she was like, oh yeah, I'm trying to, like, maybe. I'm like really working on it. I don't know, maybe. I gotta find some time.
You haven't met Joel's voice actor yet?
I have not met Troy Baker. I have an autograph from him, like during COVID. Like, he used to do live streams and sell merchandise.
Oh wow.
I was like, oh, let me throw some money this way. And so I got one, but I've not actually met him. But I think we will be in Columbus together. I'm not sure.
Wow.
At GalaxyCon. So it might be time. but Ashley was great. We we did our own rendition of something from The Last of Us, which is like the photo booth when
With
Riley, yeah. They're taking pictures and one of them is like, oh, there's a dinosaur. And we both did it. She was really sweet. And then I got to meet Chris Evans, who is as beautiful.
A married man,
which I
forgot.
I didn't forget. I forgot it wasn't official. So he hadn't confirmed he got married.
Someone asked him though at the con.
At the convention. This was after. So when I went up to him, he was like, of course, smelled amazing.
I wonder what he
statuesque.
Wears.
Statuesque. He just like a specimen. And he was like, hi. And it's funny because I was trying to describe the experience to somebody who hadn't met him yet.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, it's kind of like if, say, there was a curtain and the curtain gets drawn and there's this beautiful puppy that's just like, that's just like, hi, and you're just like, oh, it's not doing.
I was like, he's like a golden retriever.
Yes.
He's like a golden retriever.
So he was like, hi there, and I was like, hi, nice to meet you. He's like, great to meet you as well. And then like we took the picture. It's very quick. It's very brief with people him. And then I kind of squeezed his side. I didn't mean to. Like, I was already holding it, so I was like, congratulations, by the way. And he kind of gave me this look like, thank you. You know, like he
that Chris Evans, like, I don't know how to do it because I'm not Chris Evans, but like, yeah, exactly. It's just like super dreamy and super like, oh, wow.
And he was just like, oh, that's nice to hear type of thing. So it kind of made me wonder if he has been getting some poo-poo flung his way about it. But it was so genuine. He was like genuinely thankful. And I was like, oh. And he was like, all right. And I was like, try to take it easy. He's like, I'm trying, trust me. Because he has
he's
severe, because he's got crazy anxiety, like crazy anxiety.
I read. We don't know him like that.
No.
He said it in publicly that he.
So that was a nice little interaction, and then of course, yes, he confirmed at his panel.
Yeah.
The day after.
I mean, that's all he can really talk about.
Yeah,
also.
I know. That is very
he
true.
He can't really talk.
Yeah, he can't talk about anything. But yeah, it was very interesting because someone made a point that you couldn't bring props of any kind into the shooting area. And so that means every Captain America couldn't bring their shield in, which is kind of sad. And apparently it's because of the strikes, which to me, that was the excuse that was apparently being given.
I don't know. It makes sense for like if Chris Evans brought like a shield.
Sure.
But a fan who's just cosplaying.
And that's the thing. You hit the nail on the head. Hello, Bucky. Is that they come in wearing their costume. They're wearing the costume. It's the entire costume. So for them to just put down the shield is interesting. I was like, oh, okay. So
I don't know the legalities of promotion of
it was interesting.
Work, so yeah, that's funny.
So I thought Chris Evans was a wonderful human being. I was not at all surprised that he was delightful. But on Saturday, I met an even more delightful person, which I didn't anticipate because, like, you know, I've met Tom Hiddleston before. off Broadway.
Small flex, but all right.
I felt awful, right? My friend was like, surprise, I got his tickets to meet Tom Hiddleston. And I was like, I've met him already. For free. And so I felt really bad, but I felt awful. I was like, you can give it to somebody who hasn't met him yet, like honestly. And she's like, no, it's for you. I was like, okay. So I went and I've met him before. He was on stage in that play that he was in with Charlie Cox and his now partner, Zoe Ashton. And so that interaction was kind of interesting because like it's just a bunch of fans are like clamoring, right? And you're just kind of standing there. So it wasn't as, I don't know, it was interesting. And it was raining, whatever. but at Comic-Con, like I was observing him with everybody else. And this man, quite literally, you'd come up to him. It was very different than Chris Evans. Like there wasn't a curtain in front of a curtain. Like he was just there. And you're in the line, and you're just waiting.
Like in a ride.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. So you're watching all these.
You got to be this tall to take a picture with Tom Hiddleston.
Good thing you said that and not ride.
Ty.
Hey.
This is a PG audience.
Well. And so it was interesting to watch the interactions. And then so, of course, what he did with every single individual that I could see, including myself, is that when you go up, he welcomes you. He goes, hello, my name is Tom. What is your name? And he like sits, he like waits for you to, and he's like, very nice to meet you. I hope you're having a lovely day. Shall we take this picture? Like every single person.
Man.
And of course, interwoven with whatever their interaction is.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. He's so pleasant.
Yeah.
And he's so, he had
proper.
He kind of had a cold. I was kind of like, it's kind of scared for me.
Should you be here?
Yeah, I know. It's like he's getting some snifflies, but he was very, very kind. Same at the signing. He was very nice. No complaints whatsoever. They were all great. Unfortunately, didn't get to meet Palm because the convention overbooked. Don't do that to your fans. It's not nice. Yeah.
Just like the airlines, man. Overbooked.
That's exactly right. Overbooked and overlooked. So nothing on her, but the other interactions were fantastic. And then there was a surprise appearance.
Oh.
Speaking of Charlie Cox.
Mm.
So a friend of mine has worked with his agent. And so my friend actually bumped into Charlie on the street. Jeez. In Hell's Kitchen.
Wow, that's fitting.
I was like, what? And he's like, it's a very Marvel moment. I bumped into Daredevil on Hell's Kitchen. I'm like, shut the up.
Yeah.
And so anyway, he divulged the information that Charlie was actually going to come to the convention, even though he wasn't a guest. He's not a guest or anything. And his kid wanted to come and cosplay. And so he intended to come on Saturday dressed as Daredevil. This is a show exclusive. He was going to do it, And then he backed out. For whatever reason, he backed out. Came on Sunday instead, dressed as Bluey from the...
Yes!
I saw. Yeah. So he came as that and went down. He went through the convention dressed as that with his daughter. So his daughter was with him.
That's hilarious.
Which I think is amazing and adorable because he's just like, yeah, I'm taking my kid. Which is like, do you know who you are? You're Daredevil. But I do wonder how many people actually even stopped him because I've only seen two pictures of him.
I've only seen one or two.
Yeah, I've seen one with the Electra and then one in Artist Alley. And so he went to Alex Maleev's table, who was the primary artist for many, many years of Daredevil.
Oh, wow.
So they clearly know each other. Like,
yeah.
But I just thought it was so funny.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So, well, I wonder if he did cosplay as Daredevil.
Yeah.
Doesn't that break?
I think that might have been why he didn't do it.
SAG rules?
Yeah, maybe.
It might have been.
Maybe.
It could be.
It could have been misconstrued. Maybe that's why. Yeah, I think so. And so he was like,
I don't want to risk it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that makes total sense. But yes, the Charming Man was at the convention and my friends and I were joking all evening. Which reminds me, we're joking all evening at dinner. We went to dinner, a few of us. We had never been able to sync up. And so we got together finally. And we're just outside on this patio having a nice Italian dinner. And guess who walks by?
Oh, gosh.
It was Alan Cumming.
Oh.
So I guess he lives there. He lives in that vicinity. Area. Or he went somewhere. Because we were joking and about like how he had gone. Like he had walked past us and we were just like, oh, my God, it's Nightcrawler. Which he is.
Yeah.
And then we're joking about, oh, what if Charlie Cox walked by next? And then as we were getting ready to leave, Alan Cumming came back. And walked the other way, to which my friend made the joke. Well, it's more like Alan going now. I was like, dude, come on.
That's good.
Come on.
That's good.
It was pretty good.
That's good.
It was pretty good. But yeah, it was interesting. I was like, oh my God, of all interactions that we randomly didn't have.
That's New York.
Yeah, it's New York for you.
New York.
New York. And so, yeah, I just wanted to kind of shout out some other guests. Ben Harvey, who is a listener of the show, he is the Marvel DC cover artist that I know and love so well. And I got to say hi to him and chat with him for a bit. And he told me he favors the mini Marvels over the longer episodes, which is fair. He thinks they're fun, but he likes these ones.
Yeah.
He's like, he likes when we go all over the board and talk a bit about everything. So shout out to Ben Harvey.
What up, Ben?
What up, Ben? He was also Filipino. So, hey.
Salamat po in my most just.
I'm not even going to try because it's going to come out as like Japanese Spanish hybrid.
I just got disowned by my whole family.
talented artist. I love him so much. And he reserved one of those Gambit and Rogue prints for me.
Nice.
So I was able to bring it home and it's in my room. I love it to death. So thank you, Ben, and thank you for listening. Did you by chance see anything else that they may have announced at the convention?
Oh, I was getting like a mixed bag of like stuff.
Yeah, I kind of figured as much. I wasn't really looking on social at all.
It was like definitely a mix of a lot.
Yeah, for sure. One of which is probably going to be one of your future favorite things, Jeff.
Hmm?
Infinity Paws.
Oh, God. Is that like Paw Patrol but Avengers?
No. It's Marvel Animals.
What?
Infinity War. And the tagline is the claws over of the century.
Oh my gosh.
So it's all, I think it's the animal verse that we know and love. So Peter
Bring
Parker.
Peter Parker?
Gwen, what is it? Penguin Stacy.
Penguin. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where's the dog?
Which one?
Who's going to be a dog hero?
Gosh, who is the
or
dog?
Or who would be
remember.
A dog?
But yeah, you know, all those.
And then Rocket Raccoon, I'm assuming is.
Maybe. I don't know. It's kind of like the Pluto and the Goofy
thing. He's a literal animal.
Like Goofy's a dog, but he's not a dog, and Pluto's a dog, but he's an actual dog. I think that's the Rocket Raccoon. Like, I think that's where Rocket falls.
Or Rocket Raccoon will be the only human.
Yeah.
But is
like Rocket and Peter Porker are the only two. And then everyone else is kind of like a subdivision of weird animals.
Sure.
Like, yeah, I don't know, whatever.
Infinity Pause.
Infinity
so good.
Pause. So that's coming out. They have a trailer and everything. And then they're officially, so this was announced actually last July, I think at Comic-Con, at San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. But the official revival of the Ultimates universe is happening. So we've talked about this on the show many, many, many times and how they like basically spontaneously combusted Miles Morales' universe. So they're bringing it back. Shock.
Of course, everything always...
they must...
Nothing's ever dead.
Nothing's ever dead. That's very true. Just ask Jean Grey. So they're officially bringing it back into comic continuity beginning January with the very first official title, Ultimate Spider-Man. So they're bringing that back. So I'm kind of curious. I didn't read anything about it so far, but I just know that Marco Cicchetto, who is an incredible artist who has been on Daredevil for the last few years, is actually going to be at the helm of that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of like, interesting. Is it going to be the same one that came from Miles's, or is it like a fresh new? We'll find out.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's pretty much all the show stuff. Aside that, they did have that promo for Spidey 2, Spider-Man 2.
The game.
The game, which is officially out for the record. So by this.
As you are hearing this, the game is officially out and me and Dai are going to become hermit crabs. And not leave our homes.
We've officially dissipated from the universe. We're just like floating in this consciousness.
I've been waiting.
Yeah.
So excited to play this game.
I finally
We'll probably pre-ordered. Do it once we both beat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once we both beat it.
We can talk
we'll
about
do
it.
We'll do a mini Marvel
on
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it. We'll do
For
it.
For all you gamer nerds.
Heck yeah. I'm so stoked. And funny enough, do you remember Stephanie Visser?
Stephanie Visser?
Visser from Sisyphus. They were one of the lead editors. Maybe it was before your time.
It might have been before.
But it was like, I didn't, you know, like when I post stuff about Marvel on my own social, I don't really ever expect to get certain people to reply. But
honestly,
I posted.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I posted that and Stephanie replied like so excited. I was like, what?
Like you play the game?
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, super, super, super excited. Got my deluxe digital version downloaded and all that good stuff.
If it does go live like midnight, like Thursday midnight going into Friday, because the game comes out Friday.
I think it will.
If it does.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm sleeping. Like I might have to play until I have to wake up for work the next morning.
I'll be honest. I'm not afraid to admit that. I know some people who did that. I know a couple of people who did
that.
Those
used to be the good old days when I didn't have any responsibilities. I'd be like, ooh, I got a game at midnight. I got to pop it in as soon as I get home.
Yeah.
And I would just play it for hours.
Dude, that was me when we've mentioned this before, when Daredevil season one, Jessica Jones season one dropped.
Uh-huh.
And Netflix would be like,
boom, here it. Oh, yes.
I watched the entire thing.
I think I did that. I don't know if it was with season one or two of Daredevil.
Yeah, man.
I blew through it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So come the weekend.
I'm excited. Oh, my gosh.
Playing. I can't wait. I'm so stoked.
I might turn down plans to be like,
Well, I foolishly made plans. I have a visitor coming.
I also have plans.
So I'm kind of like, I know. Like I said, I'm going to have to breeze through it the moment I can when it drops. I have until Tuesday morning.
When you play these games, at least, so now it's a Spider-Man and stuff, right?
Sure.
Spider-Man, Miles Morales, whatever.
Yeah.
When you play, do you the story first outright, or you do the story and then when there's those breaks you do those side missions? Because me, I want to get through the story as much as I can.
See, I don't do that.
Like I want, I was like, especially if it's a good ending of the mission, I'm like, oh, what happens next?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do like a couple, because they always say like, they're like Peter will always say like, oh, guess I should check on the app, or Miles, check on the app, see who needs help, da, 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 da. And then it eventually is like, oh, hey, like, meet me, a main character's like, meet me at the whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, and immediately I'm always like, I was like, yes, I'm going to go do that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I never like try to do as many side missions as I can before, or like level up or whatever, unless I need to and the story makes me.
Yeah.
I'm always like, what's the story? Like, let me just get this story out.
It really depends on how chaotic I feel.
It's true.
Like, I have to see, like, of course, I start to stack it up, right? Like, how far is my progress for XYZ?
Yeah. Yeah.
How far am I in the story?
Yeah.
And then how many things have I unlocked?
Yes.
So if I'm measuring it all up and I'm like, oh, I only need like 2% more to get whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. And then I just go, I spiral down. I spiral down a rabbit hole of like, I'm here.
I think it definitely depends on like, so I guess like one of the things that I think is, I don't know if it's like my undiagnosed ADD or like I'll be swinging to the next story mission, right?
Sure.
And then the random like red exclamation pops up, like there's a crime going on. Yeah. I was like, I gotta save these people. Like, yeah. I'm not gonna let them just exactly. get robbed.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I gotta do it. And yeah, I'm like, oh, sure. God, I gotta go out of my way.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if
right.
like yeah, there is like, or if there's like an attachment that I need, not attachment, but like a certain like device I need, or I want a certain suit, I'll do the certain missions to get those tokens.
The suits are the ones that,
like,
really
my favorite side quest in the Spider-Man games are when when you do the wave of enemies.
Yeah.
Like you clear like the construction site, or you clear like a building, and it comes in waves of enemies. Those are my favorite missions
love
to do.
That. Yeah. Love that. Oh, I can't wait.
So I'm so excited.
Well, when did Miles Morales come out?
2021?
20.
No way. 21? No way. I feel like it was 2020. I feel like...
Really? Holy smokes. Wow, it's been longer than I thought.
I don't know because I don't know if it was during the pandemic and I was playing it like when I was living in Orange County. I really don't know.
I don't remember either. I want to say 2020.
I think it was either 2020 or 2021.
I have a computer in front of me.
You should definitely look it up.
Let's see.
But yeah,
Miles Morales.
When is
what
it?
What is November 12, 2020.
Ah, so it was.
It's been that long.
So it was after, after the initial like, shutdown of the pandemic.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
So I will say, Billy. Thanks, cats. I will say, Billy, one of the listeners of the show, he mentioned to me, he and I have been chit-chatting about the game and the release and the hype and all that. He's been replaying it, Spider-Man 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so he told me today that evidently IGN rated Spider-Man 1 an 8.0.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2.
Or Miles Morales, you mean?
No. Spider-Man 2, because they've already gotten it. I think they rated that 8.7, but Miles is a 9.0 or something.
Interesting.
So they found that Miles Morales was the best of the three so far. So I was like,
Interesting. I did see some Metacritic scores. Like,
yeah.
This next one, Spider-Man 2 is good.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And thankfully, we've avoided spoilers this far. I was really paranoid for a while because spoilers started to drop about a month ago.
Really?
But
I didn't even see. I just saw some gameplay stuff, but.
No, for sure. Same
nothing
here.
Crazy.
Yeah, thankfully. So, the game is out. Go get it. Go play it. Tell us how much you love it.
Woo!
We'll see it eventually when we surface from our own gameplay. and then next on the docket, the Marvels. So, full steam ahead,
it's
man.
Next month.
Like, this is crazy. It's less than a month away, right? It's like November.
It will be. Yeah. Yes, November 9th, I think.
Yeah. And
something
so
around there.
They dropped a full fleet of posters for all three.
Posters, a couple teasers. A
couple of teasers.
Behind the scene teasers.
Still have not watched any of it.
I mean, it's the only thing they can release since the actors can't promote right now.
Nope.
And negotiations got walked away from.
I Jesus, know. Man. I was so hopeful that it would get like settled by the time New York Comic Con came around. It was just like, no, not happening.
Like I saw the offer.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you serious right now?
Ugh.
No, well, SAG presented an offer.
Yes.
And then the AMTMP, I think, they were just like, no. And they just walked away. Like, they didn't even counter offer. They didn't even negotiate. They just left negotiations.
Oh, my god!
And you know what it was
that
had them walk away?
What?
It was 2% royalties. That was it. That's all they were. I think that was what they're asking.
It's so insane.
2%, which is literally like a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
Like.
Yep.
Of their profits.
Yeah. Oh my.
They didn't even like decide to like counteroffer or negotiate. They just walked away.
It's so disappointing. I don't get it.
Pay them.
Pay them.
Everybody.
Pay them now. Pay them immediately. But. Yeah, hopefully we'll actually get somebody at the fan event. So Jeff and I have tickets for the fan event at El Capitan. And yeah, it would be nice to get somebody that's actually in the film. But otherwise, we'll have Kevin Feige, which is fine. Lord Feige.
The director can probably, because director, writer, yeah, that's so, about, but just no.
Yeah, that's, yeah, very that's true. It.
No actors.
But no actors, unfortunately. But I will say, did you see the drama about the new posters? New Rockstars actually covered this.
Oh no, I didn't.
So apparently people are having like they're like freaking out because Goose is a different animal.
Oh,
actor.
Yes, that I know. I saw. I was like, oh.
Really? Slow news day, everybody.
Like that's what you're going to be mad
about?
I
didn't even notice. But I mean, like, you know, I'm sure the cat is not only older but also probably doing other things. But I didn't even notice. Yeah. So the new cat has like white on his chin.
I saw. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Let it go.
Maybe it's a different Flurkin. Maybe you
it's
know?
A different. It could be different Flurkin. Maybe it's actually Chewy this time. He's Chewy. He's Chewy in the comics, not Goose. So whatever it is. So we got a listener question from Super Fanboy Guy. Do you think Disney should make a Marvel movie that doesn't tie into the MCU? So this is an interesting question. And I didn't get to talk to him to ask him exactly what he meant.
I think it's just like, it's one of the, it's like what Logan is.
Sure.
I think is what I think Logan... he meant. It is, but it's still very much its own
film
where you're like, yeah, this is,
yeah,
this is very much like a goodbye to, you know, to Wolverine.
The character, yeah.
I think they could.
Sure.
Should they? I mean, sure. I mean, I'll just say that they could, but there's always going to be people who are going to be like, oh, like this happened. So it must mean this. X, Y, A, B, C happened. So it must mean it connects to X, Y, Z.
You know what movie would have been perfect for that though? Shang-Chi. They could have easily made it a standalone, like in the Marvel universe, but not in the MCU, if that makes any sense.
Is there a movie that does that though? That doesn't that have poorly? Any existing characters pop up?
I mean, Eternals kind of sort of, but the actual...
But the bigger scope of it?
Yeah.
I mean, I like, guess, like, what does it mean that doesn't tie into the MCU?
Yeah.
I feel like it would always just tie in, unless... Yeah. And then you get into the whole universe thing, and then now people are like, blah, this is part of the universe, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, yeah. The multiverse messed everybody up.
It really did.
So, you know. Yeah. I mean, I feel like WandaVision was a great, like... microcosm of a show that just took place in that small town, and you know that was it. But I don't know, that doesn't tie into the MCU, people are just gonna demand that.
That's the thing, right? It's like it's gone it this needs far.
To like it's it, or if it's good,
yeah,
if it's good, yeah, they'll be like oh, it's so good, it needs to tie connect. And then if it's a horrible movie or show, people are like, oh,
it shouldn't have tied in.
It needed to be tied in.
I don't know why I sound like Cartman, but yes. No, like, well, like, it's the same thing as like back in the day, right? Like in the 2000s when they did release X-Men and Fantastic Four, etc. People were just like, wouldn't it be great if they all tied together?
And now we have
and
it.
And then we have it, and everyone's like, this sucks. I don't want to watch it all.
Yeah. I mean, like, same thing with X-Men Origins. Yeah. Well, you know, it's like, I think Origins was to also be its like own thing too, right?
Wolverine? Yeah. Well, because like Gambit and Deadpool and all of them are supposed to like spawn out.
Yeah.
And thankfully one did.
Yeah. And then you have like Deadpool coming in, especially in Deadpool, was it? One or two, Deadpool Tool, two, where he's like, don't worry about me, just cleaning up the timeline. Love you.
I love him. He's so good.
And then now he's doing that same thing in Deadpool 3, which is going to tie into the MCU.
Yes.
So to answer the question, should?
Should.
Probably yes.
Yeah.
I don't, but I also don't think it's very hard to stray from the from the given path already.
I know. How much are you thinking of Loki as we talk about all these branches now, which we'll talk about shortly. But yeah, I don't know. I agree with Jeff. So once again, we mentioned this in our previous episode, all about Kang the Conqueror, but Werewolf by Night is officially in color, officially streaming on Disney Plus as of October 20th. And so it's officially been a year since the initial release.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and oh man, Michael Giacchino, of course, the director, who's a well-known composer as well, they're doing a live to orchestra event in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. I believe it's in D.C. or Washington. I don't remember which Washington. But they're doing, I got really excited because last year I had tickets to the premiere, remember?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
It was in the cemetery.
Yes.
And I couldn't go because I was at Comic-Con.
That's right.
And you were busy, so I couldn't even give the tickets to you. And so I got really excited, like, oh, they're doing a live to orchestra, which is fantastic. And then I was like, oh, it's in Washington. Never mind.
Rip.
Yeah, rip. So, but anyway, you know, catch the color version. I'm really excited for that. And also, speaking of live to orchestra, the Into the Spider-Verse tour is officially coming this way. So I believe it's the week before the Marvels drops. So if you're in LA or you're somewhere on this coast.
You got tickets, right?
I have tickets. Yeah. And
that's
I know,
I'm not.
You're
busy. I'm busy. That's why. I was like, I can't go.
I know. I looked at my calendar. I was like, oh, cool. All right, Marvels. And I was like, what is this Spider-Verse thing on my calendar? And I was like, oh, shit.
Where is it at? Pantages?
Pantages, yeah.
Ah, so, and it's near my work.
It's right near your work.
But I'm sneaking in.
Yeah, just come over. So that's going to be on stage, I guess is a better way to say it. So I'm really excited for that. That brings us to Loki.
Woo!
Episodes 1 and 2. So 3 has officially dropped. We are recording before Thursday. Therefore, we will not be able to watch it and talk about it. But episodes 1 and 2 are out. And before we get into it, listener comment from Robin Run Girl. The first episode was funnier than I expected. Owen Wilson's reaction and comments about the whole skin thing had me rolling. Also, love Ke Huy Quan. I love him. I'm sorry. Loki season 2 is perfection, which I agree with. Ke is like, oh my god!
His character, his character was like set up perfectly. Like, you understand him, you know who he is.
Yeah.
His purpose.
Oh, he's wonderful.
And he killed it.
He's absolutely
super
wonderful.
Concise.
Yeah, super duper awesome. So, very quickly, let's just kind of run through like what happens in these first two episodes. So we get a reintroduction to Loki himself, and so the whole thing from season 1, where we talked about in our King episode, is that he got sent back to an alternate timeline.
I think it was the...
Well, it was the past.
It was the past.
Now we realize it's the past. It's not even alternate. Yeah. Which is kind of crazy because that was the tailspin. It was kind of like,
is he alternate?
Yeah, no. And then it turns out he's actually in the past of all places. And then, so him like trying to get back and like the fact that they didn't remember him and they didn't even know who he was. Like, it's just... The way that they play into Loki's heartbreak is like the worst thing because Tom Hiddleston's so good.
So good, man. That first episode really drew me in.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, whoa, man.
Yeah.
They're really setting up Kang.
Yeah.
Who we talked about in our last episode.
Yeah.
They're really setting, I mean, we never even saw him in the first episode. But the way they set up his like gargantuanness.
Yeah, it's wild.
And like his presence. I was like, okay, what is this man doing?
Really great. And also, the back and forth with like, and it wasn't even confusing, like the way that he was just affected by the timeline and how they concisely figured out the issue and got rid of it in the first episode. They're like, we're good, all right, all, and they kind of explained what happens, right? So I'm kind of wondering, oh, are we going to revisit that issue later on in the series with somebody else? Like, is somebody else going to have that problem? But it was nice for them to kind of neatly tie it up. And so that I was almost like, oh, this is going to be the first two episodes. Here we go. But no, it's great. First two, introduce Ouroboros, who I absolutely adore already. He's so good.
He's good.
He's so good. I love him. He was my favorite part of Everything Anywhere All at Once, whatever.
Yes.
He's like the best. And so I'm glad to see him. And I was saying to a friend, I was like, the best part about OB, even if this OB doesn't continue to exist, it's multiverse. So he can come back as some other version of himself down the line if they choose to discontinue this version of the character.
Mm-hmm.
He can come back in another way, which I'm like, hopefully, because they need to keep Kay. He's like amazing.
So good.
Yeah. And then like before we get through the rest of it, listener question from Andrew Frank 17. Who do we think prunes Loki at the end of episode one?
I mean, that's the big...
Which, of course, he does get pruned the moment he finds Sylvie.
In the future.
In the future, or present time. That was a future.
Yeah. That was, future. Yeah, that was future.
Yeah, so who do we think prunes Loki?
There were rumors or like speculation that people said it was Loki who pruned Loki, like himself.
Hmm.
That was like...
Why, though?
I don't know.
See, they gotta have speculation. A reason.
I don't like having reasons.
Like, not even like kid Loki. They just said Loki.
Loki, yeah. Because also Sylvie said like
could be the gator for all we know.
The gator. Gators.
Can you imagine a gator just like?
Because Sylvie did say like, "There you are." Like,
yeah.
Like I was like, oh, like, and it's like, who was she talking to? Was she talking to present day Loki, or was she talking to that person who pruned Loki?
Mm-hmm.
So there's like that.
Okay, I buy it.
Was it? I don't know who it is, but sure. We're obviously gonna find out at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love all these cliffhangers.
It's good stuff, man.
It also had the first episode had the a post credit scene.
Yes.
That was I was like oh, yes. There's a post credit scene.
Yeah.
Sick.
Pretty good. I mean, there's no way to watch the series without craving McDonald's. Did you immediately want McDonald's?
I wanted some like nuggies and some like fresh fries.
Well, yeah, when the guy was like, would you like to try our new chicken McNuggets? I was like, oh, chicken McNuggets.
I was like, damn, new? That was new in the 70s?
No, it was yeah. 80s. It was like, I think, well, it might have been like 1980 or something, whatever it said on the screen. Yeah. And I was like, wow, I was X amount of years old when those were like, oh, it might have been later, actually. It might have been like 87 or 88. Mm. So I was like, wow, I've been eating chicken nuggies since they came out. But yeah, I really love that.
I might get that on the way home.
If you get a pumpkin bucket, can I have it?
Oh my god. Oh, it comes.
And apparently, that's what my friend said. My friend Mark, shout out.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, I was like, they're bringing them back for a hot 2 weeks. And he's like, I think so. I was like, all right. Noted. No more Pokemon.
All right.
But yeah, I can't watch it. And it's like the best subliminal like advertising in the world. So they've already ceased the Loki sauce. So if you didn't get Loki sauce, it's gone. You can get on eBay or something.
Gross.
I know. I was like, you want a case of Loki sauce?
It's gross.
It's like for $500.
No way.
Yeah. It's
couldn't crazy. Be me. Not me. It would be E. coli.
Also, they've also released Loki Charms again. Did you see
that? Oh my gosh. No. No.
Like, so it started as a joke. It started as a joke.
Yeah.
Some fan artist created a, like, he's known for these t-shirts. And he did Loki Charms and, like, Groot Loops.
Oh my gosh.
So Marvel was like, that's a good idea. And so they stole the Loki Charms one and actually made Loki Charms when season one came out. But it was so limited and it was only available to certain fans. Like it was like an influencer thing.
Uh-huh.
That once people started catching wind, like, oh, I can make money off this. They started selling the boxes. They did make a run that was publicly available, but it was so limited.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like 1 in 5,000 boxes, right? And so people were selling these for like $400 a box.
Sounds about right.
Right.
The people are greedy.
And so now they've actually released another wave in stores. I went to Target today just to look.
Nah.
Couldn't find it. But nah. It's cool because it's a lenticular box. So if you move it, it's Lucky. And then you move it again, it's Loki. I was like, wow, I might actually pony up to get a box on eBay. They're not that bad yet. Mm. But, you know, paying $28 for Lucky Charms is insane.
That's a lot.
But it is up there and they're not $200. So that's a plus. But the way that they've kind of folded in Sylvie and into the McDonald's thing is kind of funny.
I thought it was also very like, was it like blissful for her. Yeah. She was like,
she had purpose.
Yeah, she was like,
glorious purpose.
Everything. And she just wanted to live a normal life that she dreamed of, yeah. But she doesn't know the consequences that she brought upon the whole universe.
It's so Loki. It's so Loki. Like, that's exactly like,
it's like, course. Oh, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I don't care if everyone else is dying.
Exactly. And then gets mad, like, I'm going to go home if it's still there. It's like, you did
it's
this.
Your fault.
It's your
could have
fault.
Gone anywhere.
I know. And also, I also appreciated, right? Because, like, the entire ship has been something that I've just kind of, like, tried to wrap my head around and I, like, can't quite.
Yeah.
And so for Mobius to literally just be like, he's in a relationship with himself. It's kind of complicated. I was like, ah, thank you. like yeah. To actually just say, like,
that's fair.
He's in a relationship with himself.
Yeah.
And not to beat around the bush of like, they're not together. And like, no, they're together, but it's just, it's himself. It's just bizarre.
It's the most Loki thing in the world.
It is.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I really love the return of Sylvie and how they reintroduced her into the fold. And also, like, it's just so wild. She's so pissed about everything.
Yeah.
So if Loki was in the future in that first elevator sequence, so that means it's future Sylvie as well.
Yes.
So what do we think
It also looked like the TVA was like crumbling and falling
yes.
apart. So it's like,
I'm going to be so mad if this is in episode 3.
Like, oh, yeah, I know.
Dude,
it always happens.
It always happens to us.
Always. Because we did Kang, right?
Yep.
And then the episode 1 came out.
Yeah.
And then it explained Kang like yeah. to it. And we're like, oh.
I'm like, ah, shoot. Yeah, no, for sure. So hopefully it won't happen just yet. But speaking of Kang, the whole Renslayer and he who
That's
remains,
why I was like,
yes.
damn it. Like,
yes.
we literally just talked about this and we can't even talk about it again until yeah. right now.
Until now.
But that was definitely, because she was like a love interest, but it was, it wasn't really mad.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they explore it
yeah.
in the first episode. And I was like, I literally was like, God, are you kidding me? I was like.
But isn't the beauty that you officially have the knowledge of like,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah,
I got that reference.
I think that's like one of the great things why I love doing the pod. Because
yeah.
then when I watch like the modern digital media,
sure.
I'm like, oh, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I talk, because then some friends know that I do the podcast.
Yeah.
And so they'll ask me like, oh, like, what did you think of this? Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And then they'll bring up something that references like maybe like what we've talked about that compares to the comics.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not aware of that. So they bring that up from the show or film.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, actually in the comic is, you know, like XYZ. And they're like, oh. And I was like, oh my God, I know that.
I love that. That's
like,
great.
Oh yeah.
Right.
So then, yeah. So when I listened to that scene where it's he who remains talking with somebody and mm-hmm. it's like, who and I always watch with captions on.
Yeah.
So it says like Renslayer.
Oh,
and I was like,
So I tried to not do it because my eyes do gravitate, but I turned them off for the episode. So I don't know if you did, but like to hear he who remains.
Yeah.
And then Loki does the smart thing and then rewinds
it.
And then you hear her. I was like, ah, yes.
I was like, no.
So they've been in it, but that explains why she's missing from the timeline, why it's so hard
to find
her.
Where did she go?
Right. And that Ms. Minutes is defunct because she's essentially speaking for Kang. So
Ms. Minutes is probably with Renslayer. I think that's
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're doing some rogue covert something,
yep.
getting some answers.
Exactly.
Do we know how many episodes? 6?
I'm afraid to look.
I think it's 6. I feel like
Let's
it's
see.
6. I wish it's 8, but that's wishful thinking.
Yeah. How many episodes? I'm afraid to look, so I don't want to look. But yeah, I briefly saw 6 episodes, so I'm assuming it's 6 episodes.
Okay.
Oh, that means we're halfway there. We're halfway there already.
But it's okay. Episode 4 is usually those are the popping off, man. Those are the peak episodes.
but
this season of Loki already.
So, can we just talk about Good Cop, Bad Cop?
Oh, so good.
That was so great.
Oh, so good.
B5?
Really
is
good.
Hunter? B5.
X.
Oh, X. X4?
X5. X5. I think it's X5. B5 is...
That guy.
The other lady.
What was his name? His movie name?
Oh, my gosh.
Zenblam?
I forget.
I don't remember.
I think this the show is really well written. Pretty well written.
It's so good.
That key lime pie scene, apparently.
Oh, my God. I had to get key lime pie after.
It was... Apparently, it was...
Improv?
Yes.
Yeah?
Either that was improv. Oh, no. The McDonald's scene between X5 and Mobius.
Oh, really?
That was improv. That they just kept riffing and riffing. Owen Wilson just kept riffing.
Sure.
Like he does.
Of course.
And then, yeah.
He's so great.
But the key lime pie scene was like,
yeah,
just great. Because as soon as we were in it and they were like, key lime pie. And it was just them talking. I was like, okay, this is like this is a little breather for them and just them talking. Like, there's still a little bit of exposition, but like, it's just nice to like have them talk.
Slow down a bit. Yeah, it was all good. And like, Loki, again, being Loki and torturing the prisoner like...
That was when I was like, oh, this is Loki.
Yes.
I was like, I forgot he has this in him.
Even you know what kind of took me by surprise was like, oh, he used his magic in the chase scene, which we haven't seen him
don't
do.
See dude, the shadows grabbing him.
Loved
I was
it.
Like,
and the
oh,
clones,
we haven't seen this Loki in a while.
Yeah, I love that Loki so much. And so for him to then almost diabolically like torture the
dude,
guy.
Dude, that was crazy.
Well, it's like, don't talk about his mother. Like, why would
dude,
you
that,
ever?
That scene, I was so like, ooh,
that
boiled
is,
up the
so
way like X5
that,
was taught. I was like,
he's so bad.
Ooh. I was like, yeah, you are
him.
Good. You
he's,
are.
Yeah, he's
you're
so
good.
You're just like, oh, I hate you. Oh, oh my God, God. You're such a good actor. Yeah, it was criminal. How good, because he is so obnoxious. He's so like he's so in the
face. But he was also
saying
correct things.
They're
I was
100%
like,
this
is true. Yeah. I can't even make that mad, but I'm mad.
Yeah. But it was great. I love those scenes. Those scenes are just so fantastic. And then I was happy to see that Obi still had not... Like, I was almost afraid that Kay would be only in the first
episode.
But he looks like...
He's going to play a pretty pivotal role.
He's an Academy Award winner now. So they better use him.
Better.
Yeah, so I'm super excited to see where he goes. But yeah, so... That's it for now. I'm sure we'll talk
about it. Episode 3 is out.
Yeah.
Man, halfway through already.
Halfway point. Ah. But yeah.
We need more. I know a lot of the previous like Marvel shows to the general public felt like it's fallen flat for a lot of the general public, which is, you know, fair.
Yeah.
I can see why.
Yeah.
I know me and you are always pretty like unbiased.
We're always excited.
Yeah, we're always just excited. Like, and like, I mean, you'll never really hear us say, I hate that this show did this, or I hate that the movie did this.
Yeah.
We kind of take it for what it's worth. Like, what if as long as they tell the story that they want to tell, but I know that's better said than done, because a lot of things go behind the scenes of like movies. Maybe they want to go a certain direction, but then, you know, the studio wants to go another direction.
Yeah.
So it's like, as long as we get the story that they're trying to tell, and we kind of take it for, you know, what it's worth. We'll always enjoy it, because at the end of the day, it's, I don't know, we've always enjoyed these Marvel stories for a decade now, over a decade.
So crazy.
So,
yeah,
you know, just kind of roll with the punches and.
For sure.
I mean, people like what they like, and I know, I mean, I just saw something today where it was on Twitter or on YouTube. They're saying, like, when those first movies are coming out, like in, you know, Fantastic Four, like, I think you brought it up earlier too. Like, what if these movies connected? Like, what if there's like one big shared universe where all these heroes popped up? So from like 2009 to 2000 and up until probably Endgame, people are like, oh, this is sick. This is great. And then now we're in this post Endgame era of like, you know, and it's very hard to top Endgame.
Yeah.
Especially with like, because you build these stories so long over mm-hmm. the course of a decade mm-hmm. and a half, close to.
Yeah.
So, but we just try to take it, you know, for what it's worth, like at face value.
Mm-hmm.
These are still stories that would not have gotten told in 2004, 2002. Like,
no way.
We never would have gotten a She-Hulk. We never yeah. would have gotten an Eternals. We exactly. never would have gotten a Shang-Chi.
Yep.
Never would have gotten Falcon as Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we're getting stories in the digital media that we never would have gotten, that we only thought would probably only be in comics.
Yep.
And like now people like when yeah. people say like, ooh, like it'd be cool if this person in comics was in a movie or a show.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're getting that and people are like, eh, I don't know.
That's what kind of that's what annoys me about it, because they swear it's not a bias toward any particular character, but it's like, if all you want is to see Captain America come back, and also the Captain America that we have isn't good enough for you,
yeah,
then you have a bias.
Yeah.
It's not because they were better before, it's because you don't like the character that is now offered to you.
Yeah.
And so that whole thing frustrates me, because, you know, like people are like, oh, mid. Like, you know what I mean? Like after phase 4 or 3, like,
you know,
mid.
What they should have done. So,
yeah. It's like, shut up. Just shut up.
Yeah.
Like, just tell us that you have a bias toward the original
yeah.
films and just call it a day. Because, like, you're clearly not going to enjoy the rest of it. But, I mean, like, when they drop something like Loki, I find it difficult to believe people who are like, it's not that good. I'm like, are we watching the same thing?
Because
yeah. this
and
is
it's
pretty
also
solid.
Because, you know, it's Tom Hiddleston. Like,
yeah.
he's an amazing Loki.
He's fantastic. He's a fantastic actor.
So,
and the script yeah. is great. Owen Wilson is great. Everybody in the show is great.
Yes.
Like, you're going to sit there and tell me that Keke Khan is not great?
Amazing. Yeah. So, yeah, so I'm excited for the rest
it's
of Loki.
So crazy.
So, and then in the midst of Loki,
yeah.
I think towards the end of this season 2 of Loki, we're mm-hmm. going to get the Marvels.
Yep.
And then
that's it.
I think
for
that's
the year.
It for the rest of the year for yeah. Marvel.
Yep.
Because
X-Men doesn't come out until, and it's not even going to, it's not going to correlate. It doesn't, that's animation. So it's completely.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it won't be until next spring, I think.
Pay your actors.
Pay your actors!
So they can promote the crap
Seriously.
Out of their film.
And I need Thunderbolts to get into production already. God
same,
help
same,
us.
And we need Deadpool 3 to finish production.
That's what I'm... And Captain America.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, guys.
Studios are getting mad that like oh, like we can't finish. Like, you're the reason why we can't finish the production.
Exactly.
They can't finish the productions.
Oh my god.
Because you're like, I don't know if I want to pay these actors. You're like...
But you know who's not having a problem? A24.
An indie studio who's complying with all SAG requirements.
Yep.
And yeah, and it shows, yep. I mean, I think it also shows like how much promotion will help boost ticket sales for a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen a lot of like people like, oh, it's projecting like this amount of money. And it's like, yeah, you could probably get that up more if you start promoting the movies,
it's
like
ridiculous.
Your actors promote the movies.
Oh yeah, Blue Beetle really suffered because of that.
Yeah.
And now everyone's like, oh, it's because it's Blue Beetle. It's like, no, it's because you...
Yeah. Like James Gunn couldn't promote it. Like, no one could have promoted
exactly.
anything.
Exactly. It's awful.
But, so yeah, we got Loki, and then we got the Marvels. So
yep.
I'm excited for the last quarter of the year.
Exactly. So, unrelated, but related a little bit, we do have one last listener question from Ariel Tima. What's been your favorite thing to come out of this phase or any phase? I think
oh, man.
You just pick this phase because any phase is kind of
biased.
that's
biased.
That's a tough one. Yeah.
We're in phase 5?
We're in phase 5.
What started phase 5? Was it Quantumania?
Quantumania.
That came out.
So Black Widow started 4. Quantumania started 5.
Quantumania came out earlier this year, right?
Correct.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well,
it came out February.
Oh, and then Guardians.
And then Guardians
oh
came out in
Oh my gosh.
May. Good thing I have this poster, huh?
I think Guardians, like, just the pure euphoria of that film.
Yeah.
It was like woof.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Still gonna be my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, just the heart that went into that story. And with the characters, yeah, and knowing that it's the final goodbye for a lot of those Guardians, mm-hmm, it really like kind of like just hit home of like, wow, this is like another like ending to a trilogy. Mm-hmm. Like saying, when we say goodbye to Iron Man, we say goodbye to Captain America, mm-hmm, Nat, and all that. So saying goodbye to that version of the Guardians, mm-hmm, was very like bittersweet, and mm-hmm, it ended on an amazing note, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I think that James Gunn was able to really kind of deliver an endgame impactfulness.
Yeah.
That's even a word. To a film without needing the bombastic, like, ensemble.
Yeah.
He was able to do it with an extended version of the group he's already created,
yep,
in his own films. And it didn't need, like, we didn't need the preface of the High Evolutionary in another film.
Yeah.
It was all self-contained.
Yeah, we felt his presence right away.
100%. And the only, the only real reference to the other films was Gamora, and also, like, the whole weird alternate universe thing. That's, yeah, it. And they took care of it in an elevator scene.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like for him to really tie it up the way he did, as magnificently and as heartfelt and as emotional and as substantial as he was able to do, like, that's going to be so tough to top for me, even in any phase, for that matter. Like, definitely out of this phase, but any phase, like, that's, I mean, obviously Infinity War and Endgame is, like, next level, but, I mean, that's... I defy any trilogy to really hit like that.
I mean, I think I said it also earlier when we talked about the movie. Like, mm-hmm, I think the Guardians trilogy might top the Captain America trilogy for me, because I love the Captain America trilogy a lot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hope that answers your question. Hope it's a surprise. That's more of what I'm concerned about. It's, yeah, probably not too surprising, but yeah, that's gonna, I still haven't really watched it. I haven't watched again.
Yeah.
Cause it's so hard. I watched like the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I watched the assembled, but I have not watched the actual film since it was in theaters. So tough. I have like 4 copies of it. It's fine. So with that, that's the end of the show. Next up, with the arrival of fall and spooky season all around, as we've mentioned before, please join us for a character study on either Jack Russell or Elsa Bloodstone. So we've kind of left it up to Patreon first. We'll see how it's going. And then social media is also going to get a poll. So
let us know.
Yeah, try to pick between the two. I'm pretty sure, like, it's probably going to sway toward Jack Russell just because it is Werewolf by Night. And we should probably lead with him. But Elsa Bloodstone's
she's
so
also
bloody
really good.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
She's so cool. I love that character in the comics. So stick around for that in the next 2 weeks. And thanks for listening, especially to our We Are Groot salute. You get to see it on camera if you're watching the video version.
So weird.
So We Are Groot salute to Joe Liz, Claire, Edgar, Eve, Nats, Katie, Robin, Laura, Tyler, Chris, Sherry, Jenny, Ashley, Ariel, Melanie, Ed, Andrea, and Andrew.
Woo!
Follow us on social, STRKCNTRST. And if you like what you hear, review, rate, and subscribe.
Woo! And to the people who watched the pod, we hope you enjoyed this version of us.
Yeah,
this is our first time doing it.
Crazy.
Let us know if this is something that you would like to consistently see.
Yeah,
so that we can up our production.
Multi-camera, baby.
Yeah, because we just had this one because we wanted to gauge if you guys would even actually like watch, or if you just want to stick to listening. So let us know. Let us know what you think we can improve. I am my own worst critic, so anything you say will probably not affect me as much because I literally hate myself. So
way to close out the show, Jeff.
But let us know if you enjoyed this. Thanks for listening and watching. We will catch you in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow. again.
Good to see you too. Yeah, I... Loki, I want to introduce you to...
I'm Ouroboros. Nice to meet you, Loki.
Ouroboros.
Ouroboros.
But he calls me Obi.
Yeah, I call him Obi. That's like a nickname I have. Yeah.
Wow.